Have you ever noticed how one short little word can really pack a wallop? I mean, one little word can hit you like a ton of bricks. One little word can be so powerful that when it's placed in just the right spot, it can practically undo or render ineffective all sorts of words that came just before it. Let me give you a couple of examples. Perhaps someone at some point has said something like this to you. I really think you are a great person, but... Uh-oh, what's that mean? It means they're about to tell you exactly why they really don't think you're great. That but is about to undo the statement about them saying they think you're great. Or maybe you've heard something like this. Oh, sure, I trust you, but... Well, what's that but mean? That but means they're about to tell you exactly why they really don't trust you at all. That one little word, but, changes everything. A short but powerful word, and there are many uses of the word but in the Bible. I'll give you one example. You can read this on your own later in Ephesians chapter 2. You can read verses 1 through 10. In the middle of that, we find this word, but. Paul is talking about our condition at one point. He says, you were dead in trespasses and sins. You conducted yourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You are by nature children of wrath. And then he goes on and says this, but God. Oh, and then suddenly everything changes. Who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And then he goes on and on, and it gets just better and better and more beautiful. That word but undid everything that was said before it. Again, that one short little word is incredibly powerful. Now, in our previous couple of discussions, we were looking at the book of Colossians chapter 1, where we saw Paul describing how our Heavenly Father sees us in Christ Jesus. And we spent a lot of time talking about this. If you didn't listen to the previous couple of messages, please take time to listen to them. We saw that God in Christ sees us as holy, blameless, and above reproach. That is how Christ has presented us to our Heavenly Father. Now, in that letter, in most of our English translations, there is then placed a very short little word that is incredibly powerful, which, if taken wrongly, I believe it's been wrongly translated in most of our English translations, it almost undoes the glorious truth that Paul has just proclaimed. Paul has proclaimed this amazing truth about how our Heavenly Father sees us because of what Christ has accomplished, what Christ has finished on the cross. And then in most of our English translations, it then says, if we continue in the faith. And then it goes on and starts talking about things that we can do that are very good and very righteous and very wonderful. But that word if makes what Christ has done for us of no effect unless we, through our own works or merit, somehow seem to attain it. That word if, it is pivotal. It is important. It talks about continuing steadfastly in good works. Now, if is a fairly poor translation. One great translation I read recently is, so then. Think about the difference in if and so then. If makes this glorious work of Christ conditional, and as you look at the rest of that passage, conditional based upon what you do. But so then makes it glorious, great, grand, amazing news for us. Christ has presented us to the Father as holy, blameless, and above reproach. So then, in other words, because of this, or therefore, continue in the faith, steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. Do you see the difference? It's subtle in some eyes, but the reality is, when you look at it through the eyes of grace, it is absolutely huge. It's humongous. What's that mean for us? It means this. Regardless of where we've been, how well we have performed or how poorly we have performed, how good we have done or how bad we have been, and we have that thought in our minds that God wants nothing to do with us, I might as well just give up. I might as well just throw in the towel. Why bother taking another step? Oh, we look at this passage. We see how Christ has presented this to the Father. And we see the reality of that. And then Paul says, so then, continue in the faith, steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. He's saying, because of what Christ has done, not because of what you have done. Because of what Christ has accomplished, not because of what you could ever accomplish. Because of how our Heavenly Father now sees you positionally in Christ, regardless of how weak you are, how badly you have fallen, how badly you have messed up. Continue. Don't give up. Stand up. Keep moving forward. Continue in the faith. Continue to trust in what Christ has done for you. And just stay busy with what the Lord has given you to do. sharing this glorious great news with others. Guys, when you read that word if in many of our English translations, it destroys much of the power of that passage. If you have a Bible that has the word if in Colossians chapter 1, maybe underline that and then the column next to it write the word so then or therefore. And suddenly you see that passage opening up into this vast expanse of the glorious, great, amazing work of Jesus Christ on the cross for your behalf. His blood sacrifice for you, for my sins, for your sins. And the effect that his resurrection and his sacrifice has brought about in us positionally, in our Father. He sees us as holy, blameless, and above reproach. Regardless of how weak you have been, how badly you have failed, don't give up. Continue on, steadfast in the faith, abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because we have great news. Great news for me, for you, and all of humanity. Great news about what the only begotten Son of our Heavenly Father accomplished for us. In Him, our Father sees us as holy, blameless, and above reproach. Again, not because of what we have done or what we could offer, but because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. And because of what he's done, as we also shared in an earlier message, we can boldly approach God on his throne of grace to find mercy and help, not in our times of strength, no, but also in our times of weakness, to find help in our time of need. You might be at a time of need right now. You may have failed miserably at some point in the very recent past. Listen, hold on to the truth which sets us free, the truth of who you are in Christ. You are seen as a saint. You are seen as holy, blameless, and above reproach. So then, because of that truth, continue moving forward in this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope this has encouraged you and blessed you in some way. My name is James Flanders, and I'm learning the power of some very short words. And I am learning to rest in what Christ has done for me. And I am learning that although I have failed in my life, and sometimes I've failed really big, that doesn't mean I need to roll over, sit there on the sidelines and give up. No, because I know the truth of how God sees me in Christ and who I am in Christ, I'm going to continue in the faith, steadfast, immovable, and I'm going to continue in the work of the Lord. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.